Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are pressing on in the book of Revelation. We just finished the third chapter with these seven churches, the messages to the churches. So what I wanted to do today is to just go back to the second and third chapter and just give a real brief synopsis and observation of what was made to each one of these churches. This is the kind of thing that sometimes an audio podcast is limited because I'd love to have a chart, you know, just show you a chart. But I want us to see what the Lord said to these churches and a lot of commonalities and a lot of distinctive things. So the first church was at the church of Ephesus. Remember what he said to them? He praised them for their hard work and their perseverance. But he told them, you got a problem. You forgot your first love. So what did he do? He told them what to do. To repent. And then he told what would happen to those who are overcomers. Or sometimes it's described as the reward. And that's okay, but just stick with what the scripture says. The overcomer has a right to eat from the tree of life. So all these churches, there's sort of a pattern right here that he'll praise them, then he'll critique them or bring a criticism. And I guess, boy, that was loud, wasn't it? And then he'll tell them how to deal with that criticism. He'll encourage them or exhort them. And then he will tell them what the overcomer has in light of this. So with Ephesus, it's the right to eat from the tree of life. The next church was the church at Smyrna. He praised them and says, you are rich. This is one of only two churches that there was no criticism. There was no critical word. There was no corrective word to them. He did bring forth exhortation to them. He encouraged them. He said, hey, be faithful. And he says the reward that the overcomer will receive is that you will not be hurt by the second death. That's speaking of the lake of fire after all the judgment and everything. But he didn't bring a corrective word to this church. It wasn't something that the other churches had, some type of sin, overt type of thing. No, not with Smyrna. He says you are rich, and they were rich in the faith, not in the riches of the world. The third church was Pergamum. And he gave them a praise. He says, hey, you remain faithful. You have remained faithful. But I got a problem right here. And they were dealing with issues of idolatry and sexual immorality. They were chasing some things they should not have been chasing. So what did he tell them? You need to repent. What did he tell the church at Ephesus? You need to repent. Same thing, okay? So with Pergamum, he says that the overcomer will receive a white stone with a new name. That's interesting, isn't it? The fourth church was Thyatira. And he praised them for their deeds, for their love, their faithfulness, their perseverance. He said, but you know, you got a couple of problems there that are going on. Idolatry and sexual immorality. The same thing he said at Pergamum. Okay? The same type of thing. So what did he tell them to do? He says, hey, hold on to what you have until I come. He's saying, hey, repent. Hang on to what you've got until I come again. And the one who is the overcomer will receive the morning star. Okay. So, next church, Sardis. There was no praise for this church. There were two churches for which there's no criticism. Okay. There's two churches for which there's no praise. And Sardis is the first one. And the first thing he says to them is, you are dead. I mean, he was just cutting to the quick. You are dead. Was it impossible? No, because the next thing he said was a word of exhortation, a word of direction, to wake up. To wake up. In other words, if you wake up, it's not too late right here. But right now where you are, you're dead. And there's really not anything praiseworthy that I can say to you. The next church was Philadelphia. The praise for them was their deeds, their faithfulness. And actually, with the church at Philadelphia, there was no criticism. So with Smyrna and Philadelphia, there's no criticism whatsoever. With Sardis and Laodicea, there was no praise. So he tells Philadelphia, hey, you hang on to what you have. Okay. Keep pressing on in it. Keep hanging on to that. And you will become a pillar in the temple of the Most High God. Then the last church, the church of Laodicea. Again, there's no praise for them. None. The criticism was that they're lukewarm. Remember what he said? He said, man, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're lukewarm. I wish you were hot, I wish you were cold. Well, why would Jesus say that way? I didn't really get into that much when we covered this. I think the idea is, you know, I could deal with one or the other, but the fact that you're wishy-washy back and forth, if I start dealing with the cold aspect, you're going to get all hot. If I start dealing with the hot aspect, you're going to get all cold, you know? He says, so therefore, I'm just going to spew you, vomit you out of my mouth. Is there any hope for them? Well, yeah, because he gave them a word of exhortation. He said, be earnest and repent. You know, so often we see repent, we receive that in the negative sense. You think, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, I've done wrong. Well, yeah, there's that element of it. But, you know, it's really important to realize that's hope. There's tremendous hope there. If the Lord is telling us to repent, that means there's an opportunity here. There's a thing of being restored. So with Ephesus, repent. With Smyrna, be faithful. With the Pergamum, repent. With Thyatira, hang on to what you got there. With Sardis, wake up. Okay, with Philadelphia, hang on to what you've got. With Laodicea, be earnest and repent. So you're either hanging on to what you've got, you're doing great, keep pressing on with that, or you know what? You need to repent over these things that are happening, and then hang on to it, and you'll be fine. You'll be okay. Keep pressing on. What will you receive in that pressing on? Yeah, the right to eat from the tree of life. We won't be hurt by the second death. A white stone with a new name on it. We saw some more things about the new names. The morning star. Be dressed in white. Never blotted out of the book of life. Our names will remain in that book of life. And we won't be excised from it. We'll become a pillar of the temple. And then ultimately, seated with Christ. Now, is there some significance to the order of these churches and the way they're laid out? But don't you know that mankind through the last 1900 years has had some thoughts about that, and you can find all sorts of thoughts. I'm not even going to get into them. There's some that believe that each one of these churches represents a particular age of the Christian church, a particular stage. And you know what? There's some truths to be gleaned from all the thoughts, but none of them, I think, are exact and precise. And if someone comes along and says, okay, well, this church right here, the Ephesus, is from the Christian church from 30 AD to 150 AD, then Smyrna's from 150 AD to 450. I think they're sort of forcing the issue. Are there things that historically you can observe and you pay attention to? Sure, you can see some stuff. But it sort of begs the question, what would be the point? What would be the point of sending all seven of these churches these messages when what is being spoken to the church at, say, Philadelphia is not going to take place in the church for 1,500 years or whatever it is? But you can pay attention to some things, because a lot of times in the scripture, there'll be a primary truth, and then there's secondary layers of understanding that the Lord's telegraphing about what's coming yet future. Well, that's worthy of paying some attention to, but not getting distracted by. For our purposes now, I just want us to know this. You know, need to examine ourselves individually. Need to examine ourselves as the body of Christ, that portion in which we participate, and see where we are. You know, have we left our first love? Are we distracted by idolatry, immorality? Are we dead? Okay? Are we lukewarm? If we are, it's real, real simple, folks. Repent. Wake up. And then press on. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.